And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Hey, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Great to be with you on this Thirsty Thursday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. And of course, you can download the Hub City Radio app and take us wherever you go. Or you can download the 605 Radio app. It is Apple and Android smartphone and tablet compatible. And of course, that is free of charge. It is opening day. Happy opening day to you and yours for all you baseball fans out there. A couple of programming notes. First and foremost, we've got the Minnesota Twins on our airwaves coming up later on here today. That'll be at 3:10. Pre-game coverage will begin right around 2:30 or so right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Twins and Royals, looking forward to that matchup there. And of course, day one they are on, naturally, and then off a day. I don't know, never understood how that works out, but that's the way it goes. And then they'll be back in action on Saturday and Sunday. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was thinking about that. It doesn't make much sense. You play a game, you get the day off, and then you have a two-game series over the weekend. It makes absolutely zero sense. Just start the season on Friday. That's the way I've always looked at it.
Yeah, my only thought is if Thursday needs to be rained out, then they move it to Friday to make it a three-game series on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Good point.
That's my only thought, but I've always thought that was interesting. It's like Thursday, all right, let's go, and then let's go back to the ballpark on Friday. We'll kick in. Wait, we don't have a game on Friday? What are we doing?
Now, there's a couple teams I believe have games on Friday, unless I could be wrong on the schedule, but it always just confuses me that they do that. But that's a good point with the rain. I feel like what you never know with the weather, the unpredictability, especially here in the East Coast and here in the Midwest. Like, you never know what kind of weather you could get in late March. So I understand it, but that was always shocked me. All right, we're playing a game today, off tomorrow, and then I guess the season really kicks up a notch over the weekend.
Yeah, I suppose that's a good way to look at it for sure. Fun show for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. The new head coach of the Aberdeen Central Girls basketball squad, Peyton Burkhardt, she'll be joining us here live in studio. That'll be coming up here in about 10 to 15 minutes on the program. Looking forward to chatting with her. And, you know, I remember when she was playing here at Aberdeen Central High School back in the day. It really doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but I was doing a little bit of recon last night, this morning, just kind of putting together some things for our conversation here today with her. And I printed out her biography of when she played at SDSU. Look at how long this stuff is right here, and all the stuff that's highlighted. And, you know, typically, and this is not taking a shot at anybody, but the longer stuff is, there's the more stuff that there's on a biography, that typically means the better the student athlete. Not always, but it's just like, hey, did this and on this all tournament team and first team all this and all state this, academic that. And it's just like, more often than not, when you've got that long of stuff to talk about, turns out to be we'll have to wait and see, but I would think a pretty good hire.
Yeah, no doubt about it. She goes to show that she's made an impact right away when she played college basketball. Obviously made a big impact for Aberdeen Central, and we were just talking about it earlier this week. It seems like the community is very excited about this hire just from seeing comments on social media, and a lot of people are very excited about the hiring of Coach Burkhardt. So looking forward to that discussion here later on today.
Looking forward to that here and probably in the next 10 to 15 minutes or so as well. And it is opening day, so let's go ahead and get to the jump here in a second. By the way, speaking of which, this is my first coffee since Monday, so hopefully today's show will be a lot better for yours truly than it was yesterday, because I feel like my head was swimming yesterday. I just couldn't get anything right.
Yeah, I had two cups of coffee yesterday. I was very antsy during the show, so I just had one, and I feel a lot better today. So good on you, though, getting back on the coffee grind.
Got to get back on that wagon, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody likes a quitter.
Yeah. Know? You put cream in at this time?
Well,
I know we had Max Otto on yesterday. Oh, he's a psycho and likes it with without any cream or sugar or anything like that.
Man, I tell you what, and you say that kind of jokingly, saying that in jest, that's kind of like a psycho thing to do. If you actually look this up, and there have been studies on this, if you like black coffee, you drink your coffee black and you thoroughly enjoy it, you may or may not have some psychopathic tendencies. So I'm not saying Max Otto's psycho. I'm not saying that, but like I kind of might be saying that a little bit because, hey, he's a big black coffee guy. It's way too bitter for me.
I can't do it either. I need a little taste in it. The creamer just makes it that much better. And I've told you this before. I'm more of an iced coffee guy myself. Mm-hmm. So I do enjoy hot coffee, but I got to have creamer in it. I've laid off the sugar, which is good, but I got to have some type of cream.
Totally fair. There is, by the way, probably a lot of sugar in that cream anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, I stopped putting sugar in my coffee. It's like, well, that's great, but the amount of creamer you're putting in there, you're probably making up for it. So that's kind of the way that sort of thing works out. Again, I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
As we are getting to the jump here today, and it's a little bit of a different music bed here today. It's just straight up at the ballpark sounds for this day, for this Thursday, which I'm very much indeed looking forward to. And my buddies and I were texting about this just a few short moments ago. Feels like baseball needs to do a better job marketing opening day. It's like, this is your Super Bowl to a certain degree. It's like, this ought to be an event. Opening day needs to be an event, right?
Yeah, no, and you hear nothing about it outside of the real baseball fanatics on Twitter or X that are tweeting about it. They've been tweeting about it since December, but I'm with you. I don't really hear much about MLB opening day when you're talking about when the games are, who's playing, commercials. You just don't see a lot about it. Now, me being a baseball fan, I know when it is, but there's a lot of just casual baseball fans that are probably looking and saying, hey, when's the Twins playing today? Or when's opening day? Oh, it's today? What? I haven't seen anything about it. I haven't heard one thing about it.
We'll look at it last week with opening day with the Dodgers and Padres. It was like, oh, it's opening day. Wait, what? What do you mean it's opening day? Oh, it's in South Korea.
Yeah, everybody's asleep. Did you catch the game? Oh, no, I was actually getting some shut-eye, getting my 8 hours in, so I missed that one. But what was really funny is, you know, we get up so early, and the game's in, like, the sixth inning, and I see a live update on my phone on an app that I look at when talking about scores and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, is this a preseason game? And we go on the hub, and you're like, wait, this is actually a regular season game that started a week before everything else.
Isn't that nuts?
Yes.
Totally insane. Totally insane. But one thing that can be said about baseball, and we kind of talked about this briefly yesterday, and I kind of wanted to piggyback off of it, is the foods at major league ballparks. And I tell you what, some of the stuff on this list is going to make us salivate, so we'll do our best to not slather all over the microphones and short-circuit the board to the best of our abilities, but some of the stuff is just absolutely phenomenal. So let's go ahead and get to it here. T-Mobile Park, that's, of course, where the Seattle Mariners play. Check this out. They've got the Dungeness Crab Pizza. It's on their list. It's served with butter, dill, thyme, parmesan, and lemon. How is that for a baseball game?
I like that one. I'm going to give that a check plus. I'd try that one out.
Check plus for the Cobra there on that one. At Guaranteed Rate Field, that's where the White Sox are playing, of course. And this might be the best place to go because you just want to eat food the whole time. You don't actually want to watch the White Sox
play.
No,
you do not, because they're going to be the worst team in the league this year.
They're going to be absolutely atrocious. If you're craving a sweet treat during a Sox game, check out the Campfire Chocolate Shake. It's topped with whipped cream, graham cracker crumble, toasted marshmallows. The best part is you get to keep the souvenir cap, souvenir cap cup.
I probably have two or three of those at the ballpark for that one, maybe so I can fall asleep and, you know, feel good that I ate something, but don't want to watch that slop on the field.
Yeah, probably wouldn't make it to the fifth inning there. So, of course, here you are, big Baltimore Orioles fan. Let's travel out east to Oriole Park at Camden Yards. The Orioles, they've got the Warehouse Dog. Are you familiar?
Not familiar.
The Warehouse Dog is a foot-long hot dog. It's topped with horseradish-infused brick sauce, crispy onions, and queso, all served on a warm pretzel bun. That sounds phenomenal.
That sounds phenomenal. Maybe X out the horseradish sauce. Not a big horseradish guy.
Okay, not a big horseradish guy. Okay. You know, all of these at the ballpark sounds are great, but it's not quite the same. So I'm going to go right back to the actual jump here. I got to get the jump in.
Maybe. Yeah, I want to hear the song.
Got to go with the jump. Got to. Tropicana Field. Let's travel down south to America's Panhandle. Tampa Bay Rays, of course. You might be one of the eight people there at the Trop. Who knows?
But that field's terrible.
Isn't it?
So bad.
And the team is usually good.
Yeah, it's just so bad. But go ahead.
Doesn't make any sense. When the Rays hit the field, check out the braised short rib nachos. That sounds good. You can also opt for the pretzel slugger dog. It's a foot-long hot dog wrapped in a soft pretzel.
Okay. I'm here for that one. That's the best one I've heard so far.
Very, very solid. By the way, you're going to hear this foot-long hot dog quite a bit. There's a lot of foot-long hot dogs out there, feels like.
Yeah. Do you like the longer hot dogs, or do you like
the standard?
Do you like the standard same?
But I'll still eat the foot-long hot dog.
Sure.
I mean, if it's got calories, it's going in my face. Sign me up. Let's travel out to Chicago, Wrigley Field, North Side. Some of this stuff, I don't even know what this is. The citrus ancho chicken, ancho quesadillas, and or the ancho marinated tri-tip sandwich. It's served with chimichurri. I don't know what all that stuff is, but it sounds good.
Sounds really good. And didn't the Cubs do the thing with the beer with the baseball bats,
yes,
too?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I got to keep that going. That was awesome when they did that last year.
I think it was like 30-some-odd bucks, but, I mean, people were buying it.
Would you pay that?
Probably not.
Probably not.
No. I mean, a standard beer at Wrigley Field's like $8.50, $9.
That's actually pretty good, I feel like. Well, I feel like a lot of beers are like north of $12.
Yeah, especially in New York.
Yeah.
Kind of depends on where you live for sure. Travel down south to Texas, Minute Maid Park, where the Astros are. The Pennant Pickle Dog. It's a foot-long hot dog topped with jalapeno slaw, fried pickle chips, dill aioli, and green onions. Or how about this? The Curveball Corn Dogs. They're mini corn dogs topped with chili, cheese, and diced onions.
I'm all about the corn dogs. Bring on the corn dogs. That's one of the best ones we've heard so far.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a big fan of corn dogs as well. Travel down southwest to Chase Field. That's where the Diamondbacks play. The Apple Pie Chimichanga.
Ooh.
That's kind of interesting. This sweet dessert features vanilla frozen yogurt, caramel sauce, or caramel if you prefer, whipped cream, strawberries, and the ballpark staple, Cracker Jacks.
Now, I'm not the biggest dessert guy at ball games.
I drink my dessert.
I'm more of a hot dog like we talked about yesterday. Hot dog, peanuts, popcorn. But I'm not that big of a dessert guy. That would be a curveball for me if I did something like that.
Pun intended. Fenway Park, let's go all the way out east to Boston. They've got the standard Irish nachos. It's waffle fries. They're the base of this new dish with corned beef, sauerkraut, sour cream, Thousand Island dressing, queso fresco, also on the top there as well.
Yes, all about that one.
There you go. I know, not a big sauerkraut guy, but maybe lose that.
Yeah, lose the sauerkraut.
I'm not a sour cream guy, personally.
Wow.
Is that a hot take?
Yes, that is a hot take. Wow.
I'm not a sour cream guy. I'd never have been.
Sour cream makes everything better.
Okay, I'm more of a bacon guy. Like, bacon makes everything better for me. Sour cream makes everything better for you.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Travel down south to Georgia, Truist Park. That's where the Braves play. Check out the Four Bagger. It's four burgers covered in barbecue brisket, jalapenos, and plenty of cheese. They've also got a new meatball sub. It's called the Dinger.
Yes, I'm all for the meatball subs. You don't see that very often.
You don't.
You got to bring back the meatball subs. I've seen it more so at hockey games for whatever reason. Let's bring it to baseball.
I am very much pro meatball sub. Absolutely. Coors Field, they've got plenty of plant-based options, so we're going to skip right through those. We're not communists here. Yankee Stadium, they've got the Bacon Ranch Mac and Cheese that can be found at the Mac Truck. That sounds solid. Couple more here, quick like. Let's travel to Pittsburgh and PNC Park, the Renegade Hot Dog. It's a foot-long hot dog. Comes topped with mini pierogies and pickles for a fun take on a new classic.
So we're seeing a trend here, it seems like. A lot of hot dogs in different varieties.
Yeah.
But, you know, for one thing, for certain, they're a foot long.
Foot long. Who's got the foot long? And a couple more here, finally. Globe Life Field. That's, of course, where the Texas Rangers play, the champions from last year. The Texas Tacos. You can get these with ground beef or chicken, topped with lettuce, pico de gallo, shredded cheese, and salsa. And how about the Meatball Garlic Knot Sliders, which is a skewer filled with meatballs and garlic knots.
Yes, bring back the meatballs. Bring back the meatballs at baseball games. I'm all for that. That's great.
By the way, what do you do with the skewer afterwards? Do you just throw it on the ground?
Toss it? Yeah. Probably. Like, you just toss it like you do the peanut shells.
Could be like a projectile or something like that. I don't know. And finally, this one actually might be my personal favorite. Citi Field, this is where the Mets play. The Mets Championship Burger. It's a beef patty with Maine lobster salad and lobster fondue on the burger.
Now, I'll say this. I've been to Citi Field, and out of everywhere that I've been, they've had the best food.
Really?
I think it was great. I was really full, but I just remember getting like waffle fries and a burger, and I think I got ice cream that time, and it was awesome. It was great. I think my dad, he'd back me up on that one if he's listening. I think he'd back me up with Citi Field having the best food.
Well, looking forward to opening day, looking forward to the Twins, and looking forward to lunchtime here in a couple hours for both of us. We didn't slather all over the mic, so that's a positive, right?
Yes, very, very good job by us on that.
A couple pats on the back for sure. Back on the Sports Hub on this Thursday installment of the show, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. And live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. You can see the new head coach of the Aberdeen Central Girls Basketball Squad, Peyton Burkhardt, here in studio via that Facebook page. And thanks for popping in, Coach. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure for sure. And we've got a lot to get to. I mean, mm-hmm. This has been kind of a whirlwind of a situation, like you talked about a little bit off the air. But I guess that's kind of where we will kind of begin there. How did this whole thing kind of come to be as the new head coach?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I've paid close attention since I graduated, and now having a younger sibling on the team, my sister plays, so I've paid very close attention, and I was kind of a part of some practices during the summer and during my Christmas break as I'm getting my master's right now. And, you know, I just, like I said, paid close attention, and then the job opportunity popped up. I talked to Siler about it and was like, you know, is this possible? Would I fit the part? Would I meet those expectations? And then she was like, I hope you're serious about this because I'm serious about you. And then I filled out the application 2-ish weeks ago and interviewed, and here I am. So,
well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does it feel weird with the coach tag there, like Coach Burkhardt, like what Tukes just said there?
Yeah. It's really weird. I've had random people be like, hey, coach, and I'm like used to like my coaches, you know, being around them, and like I've never turned before, but I'm like, oh, I think they're talking to me. It'll take some getting used to for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned just you played at Aberdeen Central. What's it like coaching back at your alma mater? Right? That's got to be a cool, neat experience.
Yeah. I mean, I just think I had such a great experience with who I played with and who I played for. And so ultimately, like, it kind of boils down to me wanting to give back. And, you know, I feel comfortable here. Like, I played here. I know all of the coaching staff. They're either coaches that coached me or some of my best friends. So, seems just like an easy and perfect match for me.
You mentioned Dawn Siler there. Of course, she's the mm-hmm. athletic director now. What's your relationship like with mm-hmm. her? Of course, you played under her back yep. in the day, and you were at four straight state championship matchups there. I mean, yep. a couple of titles, a couple of third-place finishers. So, what's your relationship like with her?
Yeah, we were always really close. I mean, I was kind of a bear to handle in high school. I was really competitive, and I always just wanted to win. So got the best of me sometimes, but she just always had my side. And, you know, she kind of put me in my place a time or two. And I think from that, I really respected her, and I looked up to her as a role model, and I still do to this day, which is why it felt so comfortable me to just be like, hey, can I talk to you quick? Like, she'll be honest with me. And we've been really close throughout, but being able to have someone who I'm familiar with and someone who I'm comfortable with and will be honest with me and in the athletic director position will be really beneficial for me.
Mm-hmm. You talk about relationships. Obviously, you talked about it briefly there, but your sister Lauren had a great season her mm-hmm. freshman year and now going to be a sophomore. What do you think that dynamic is going to be like there, coaching your sister?
Yeah, so initially when I had even thought of it, she was the first person I brought it up to because, I mean, it's her career, her high school career, and if she was uncomfortable at any point, or I was just like, you have to be honest with me because obviously I'm doing this for myself, but I'm also doing this for you, and I will be working with you, you know. And she was super excited, and, you know, that sister dynamic is always a little interesting, but we're 8 years apart, so there's that level of respect there, but also we're still really close because we're sisters, and I am 8 years older than her. So I'm really excited to be able to see her and, you know, live in the same town as her again. I haven't done that since I was a senior in high school, so I'm really excited for that dynamic and working with her. So,
are you looking forward to telling her to drop and give you like 50, like the most? Is
that... We were talking last night, and I was like, "You do realize, like, we're not, we can't fight like sisters. Like, yeah. If you have something to say to me, like, tell me at home because I'll see you at home, or you can come over, whatever." And she was like, "Well, can I tell other people that I'm mad at you?" And I was like, 100%, just don't make it a big deal." And I was like, "And never take anything personal, because I know you can handle it. I'm probably going to look to you and be like, hey, you're being terrible right now," or something like that.
I would guess you'd probably be honestly harder on her because you have to be, because if you're not harder on her, then you're gonna, everyone's going to say, well, she's being, you know, showing favoritism, right?
Yeah, and naturally we just have that connection and we talk a lot more than anyone else while we're sisters. And I told her, I was like, "You're going to be a huge piece of, you know, people will know that how you act is a result of me. So whether or not you want to believe it, like how you act and how you are as a leader, especially now as getting older, is going to have a huge impact on the rest of the team." So I was like, "I'm going to need you to step up this year." Same with all the other girls too, but especially her, because if she doesn't respect me or look up to me or listen to me, then no one else probably will. So
that's a good point.
Yep.
You mentioned that you were around the team a little bit last year. They got off to a great start, 8-1, and then they only won one game after the 8-1 start. But I think a lot of positives to take away from this past year. Pretty young team. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Lauren. She had a big year. Also, Taryn Hermanson, double-double machine is what I like to call her. Are you excited to work with her as well and just that 1-2 punch in the paint?
Yeah, like you said, I've gotten to be around them in, you know, practice settings, and I've gotten to watch them in multiple game settings. So I know they have it in them. Like, they talk a lot about, you know, wanting to cut down nets. I saw them posting stuff like that, and I'm like, you guys can do that. And I think during the season and towards the end when they weren't winning, they totally lost sight of that they're a capable team and they can be one of the best in the state. And so I'm hoping with me coming back, I can, you know, put that in front of them again and be like, this is doable. They have, like you said, lots of good young talent. The eighth grade class, there's a lot of girls, lots of good talent. And then we have freshmen and sophomores and juniors. We'll have no seniors on the team next year based on how this year fizzled out. So I mean, they have so much potential, and it's super exciting to hop into a program where I'm familiar with the girls on a personal level. I've gotten to see them play in a basketball setting. So I think that just sets us up for a lot of success. It's not going to be easy, but it's totally doable.
And you have a lot of championship experience, you know, looking at 2016 and 18, you were cutting nets. So, you know, I guess my question is, how can you instill that experience and try to, I guess, when you get to that moment, you've been there, done that. Are you trying to instill that right away?
Yeah. So like you mentioned, I've had that experience and I'm still pretty fresh out of playing at the Division I level. So I'm hoping, you know, I can bring a lot to the table in that sense. And then they can also look at me like, she's been there before. Like, she knows what it takes. And then it just provides, you know, them and me with a unique experience. I have that fresh knowledge, like I said, and so I'm hoping we can find a good balance of, you know, she's been there and done it before, so let's listen to her, you know, and also just having fun with it.
There you go. Head coach Peyton Burkhardt joining us here in studio live on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM. So where do you start? I mean, do you just kind of sit all the players down? Do you have this big meeting, or is it kind of a one-on-one scenario? Where do you begin as a head coach now?
Yeah, so right now, I'm going to have a meeting with the girls, meeting with the coaches as well, just to kind of get a game plan. As far as summer goes, obviously season is a ways down the road, but there's going to need to be a lot of changes and a lot of work put in the summer. So just sitting down with them, you know, setting my expectations. I have a lot of fun ideas I'm super excited for, just not even just like with the program, but like getting younger girls to want to be a part of it, and the community to want to be more a part of it like they already are, because they love basketball, whether that's Northern, Central, you know, everyone supports it so much. So getting everyone involved and just really setting, you know, the tone and the expectations for what it's going to be, what it's going to take for them to want to be that good team, like I just talked about. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, you talk about it. I saw a quote here. It says you're beyond excited to get to work and be a part of a winning culture.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about culture on this program. What's that look like for you?
Ultimately, a winning culture. Obviously, you want to win, but having that positive mindset and attitude. You don't always measure success by the wins and losses. There's so many other aspects and pieces of basketball that, you know, can be a win. You know, whether it's, I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, you want to win and you want to have that good record, but how else can we measure that? And then, you know, just having fun with it. A winning culture is also a fun culture. Lots of energy, good attitude, good effort all the time. So really just instilling that in them will be essential for us, so.
Like you said, off the air, you've got time for another segment, so we're going to take a quick break in the action. More with head coach Peyton Burkhardt after this on Fox Sports Everdeen. Back on the Sports Hub for a Thursday installment of the show on FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. You can catch Aberdeen Central girls basketball all next winter long. Of course, that'll be over on Sunny 97.7 with the voice of the Golden Eagles, Matt McClure, as he'll be talking with the head coach of the squad all season long over there on the Primrose Hub City Radio Hub City Radio Sports Network, Peyton Burkhardt joining us live in studio. So we're kind of talking off the air about kind of the style that you guys are going to run. Obviously, you don't want to reveal too much and all that sort of thing, but kind of feels like maybe maybe a different style to a certain degree.
Yeah, like I kind of mentioned a little bit ago, just, you know, basketball has evolved so much just in the style of play, like you said. And I think when you have different teams year to year, it's really important to adjust and make changes towards your personnel and what's going to work best for the girls that I have now. And so when I look at, you know, what they've been running in previous years and what I want to run, obviously basketball is basketball. There's going to be similar concepts like defensively, offensively, but, you know, putting them in positions to succeed and settings where they don't have to make a billion decisions and they can kind of be like, I'm either going to do this or this, or, you know, making it just not as
simplified.
Yeah, a simplified offense, you know, that has those good core values. And then, like I said, just setting them up for success, because like we talked about, they are a really good team. They're all super athletic and there's just so much skill. So, you know, what's it going to take to put them in those positions to be successful?
Yeah, it sounds like you're not just excited about the post players, but we were talking a little bit off the air. The guard play as well is something that you're excited about and want to take them to the next level, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of potential in the guard area, too. There's so many of them, too. Like I said, the eighth grade class coming up, lots of good guards. And then you have those sophomores going to be juniors, freshmen going to. There's so many girls that can fill those guard positions and that can offer so many things, whether it's shooting guard, simple point guard, or guard that can go in and post up. I look at them and I just see so many different opportunities and so much potential, which is really exciting to see as a new coach.
Head coach Peyton Burkhardt joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And that's just it. That's a perfect segue. You said as a new coach, how do you kind of find your voice as a first year head coach? Do you reach out to others or is that something you have to kind of develop on your own?
Yeah, so when I initially decided to apply for the job, I was reaching out to some of my former coaches, girls I've gotten to play with, and feedback was really awesome. So when I got the job, I also got those texts from them saying congrats, and, you know, if you ever need anything, like, feel free, whether it's to bounce off ideas, to complain about something. So fortunately for me, I got to play for and play with a lot of great people, so I know I have those resources, whether it's, I don't know, I have this play idea in my head and I can't figure it out, or this is going on with the team and I don't know what to do. And I know I have so many people in my corner that are very, very high basketball IQ people that I'll be like, hey, this might seem simple to you, but I can't figure it out. So that's really exciting for me and I think will help me a lot as it's going to be my first year. So
this might be a dumb question, but was there a moment that you're like, hey, I really want to be a coach? You know, was there like that light switch moment where you're like, hey, I could really see myself being a coach somewhere?
You know, growing up, I didn't know what I wanted to do growing up, and me and my high school teammates would joke around, and I still bring it up to them. I'm like, do you guys remember when we would say, how cool would it be if we all came back and just coached? Because we viewed our coaching staff as, like, best friends and, like, people like we wanted to be in the future. And so I joked about that, not taking it seriously. And then when I was done at SDSU, I was kind of like, I'm just ready to take a break from being so involved in the basketball side of things. And I loved it. I love free time. But then I started getting bored. And I was like, gosh, I want to be a part of it. Like, I don't know how. And I don't know how it would work out or anything. And then just kind of lined up perfectly. And then I was like, that was that light switch moment. And I was like, one, this seems way, like, it's falling into place way too easily for me to, like, even be, you know, for me to even question it. And two, I was, like, getting more excited. And then I was, like, having this itch. And I was like, if I didn't try to apply for the job, I would have been really upset with myself. So that was that moment for me.
Speaking of coaching, your staff, is that something that is kind of on you, or is that kind of on the athletic director side of things? Or how does that kind of work out for your coaching staff?
That's a really good question. As of now, everyone stays, I would assume. I mean, I don't know the logistics of everything.
Sure. Yeah, me neither.
But I mean, the JV coach, Newman, she was the JV coach and I was there. And then you have Stolp and Bergen, who I played with in high school and who I'm still really close with. And then you have Maddie, and I can't think of her last name because I don't know her very well. But she's also played in college, and she's a really good asset to the team too. And we're all kind of close to that same age. So I'm really excited about it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tukes asked this a little bit in the last segment, but what's kind of next? I know you mentioned that you're going to have a meeting with the girls, but is there something else, like, you know, summer camps or anything like that that you're thinking could be a part of it?
Yeah, as I mentioned in the first segment, like, I just really want to, you know, get the community involved and get the younger girls to be a part of things. I don't think they did the Little Eagles camp last year, so I really want to bring that back. As far as summer goes, I've had some people reach out to me and say, hey, if you're doing any camps for younger girls, you know, just the surrounding communities like Groton, Ipswich, you know, those areas, I've had people ask me if I'm doing anything. So it kind of sparked some ideas in my head. Nothing like set in stone or anything, but I have some ideas. And as soon as we get those set in stone, I will do my best to get them everywhere, because I think that is such an exciting thing and an important thing for this community and just basketball in general to get everyone involved and, you know, keep those numbers up.
Wanted to ask a couple questions about your time at SDSU and, you know, becoming an All-Summit League player and, you know, winning championships and that sort of thing. What was it like being a Jackrabbit and playing for Coach AJ?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I was so fortunate to be a part of such a good team in all the years I was there, to be coached by such awesome coaches, and then be successful and win championships and make it far into the NCAA tournament, win the WNIT tournament, and then have those conference championship opportunities. So, I mean, there's just too many things to pick from. If you were to be like, what was your favorite moment? I would be like, this one. So like I said, super, super lucky that I got to do it for and with the people that I did. And I mean, I love SDSU. I'm so glad I was a Jackrabbit for 5 years.
Yeah, I just kind of a brief follow-up there with that WNIT run. We were talking about that, and, I mean, there were people lined up outside of Frost Arena for like 2.5 hours before tip-off just to get tickets and what have you. That was kind of a magical run, wasn't it?
It was. I actually have chills when you say that, because I remember it like it was yesterday. I mean, we show up for the game 2.5 hours before. So when you're walking in like that mindset of like, hey, let's get ready, and you see people lined up outside and you know they're going to wait for an hour and a half to 2 hours, I mean, it puts you in that different mindset of, wow, like, everyone is supporting us. Everyone has their back. And then you see them when you're warming up running in and like trying to find a good spot. And it's just insane, the support we had. And I'll never be able to experience something like that again, just in that capacity. But the way we felt so supported, and obviously we wanted to do it for each other, but when you have that backing and that support, it was like, we want to do it for them too. And I think we really embodied that, and that's what ultimately led us to being the champions.
That was sweet.
Well, what was it like playing in the NCAA tournament? Me and Tukes were big March Madness people. Mm-hmm. What was that like? That had to be a unique experience playing in that stage, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was super awesome. I got to play in it my freshman year, junior year, and then this past year. So 3 years I was a part of it, and it looked a little different every year because one of the years was the COVID year.
Yeah.
Everything was different, but it's just so cool because you kind of feel like a little celebrity in a way because you get that NCAA gear, and, you know, they're giving you police escorts to gyms, and then you're playing in these big arenas like Big Ten arenas, SEC. You know, you're playing in these cool places, and it's stuff you get to see on TV more so. And now it's changing because more girls' and women's basketball is being aired and stuff, which is super exciting to see. But it was just cool to be a part of that March Madness that you grew up watching and hearing about. So that it was just an awesome experience.
Couple more here with Peyton Burkhardt, new head coach of the Aberdeen Central girls basketball squad. Now, when you played at Aberdeen Central, you were a multi-sport athlete. Mm-hmm. You're also incredible in terms of volleyball, track and field there as well, along with basketball. Is that something that you're going to talk to the girls mm-hmm. about being multi-sport athletes? We talk about that all the mm-hmm. time on the show. Is it's so important to see that full athlete, if you will, more well-rounded.
It is. I just think, like, speaking towards the culture of athletics in general at Aberdeen Central, when I was in high school, everyone participated in two or more sports. That's mm-hmm. just what you did. And if you didn't, you felt left out. And our parents were always like, well, if you don't, you have to get a job. And you're like, we don't want a job. Like, I'll just go do track and field and throw the shot put, you know. So I think times have changed a little bit, but it'll be really important for me as a coach. Obviously, I want them to play three sports. But like I said, times are changing. So if they're not going to do that, then, you know, what else are they doing in their, like, I'm going to encourage it. But, you know, are you going to try to be a part of a Matchbox volleyball team or play on a summer basketball team? You know, how else are you benefiting and helping yourself in that athletic side of things? Because like I said, times have changed and it's just a little different than it was when I was in high school.
And sure. Those skills that you maybe gain in, mm-hmm. in volleyball and mm-hmm. track and field, I guess, how can they translate mm-hmm. to the basketball court? Can you speak on
yeah.
that?
Yeah, there's so much crossover from sport to sport. Obviously, the specific skills are different, but the conditioning aspect, the strength aspect of it, and just the ideas of, like, leadership and being a good teammate, all that is good crossover. And we're in a small enough town to where if you're playing volleyball, you're probably playing basketball with the same kids, and you're playing track or you're in track and field with the same kids. And so you have that opportunity also to get really close with your teammates who you're going to be playing all other sports with, which I think is a super awesome thing, especially in a big town like Aberdeen, but it's still small enough to where you have those opportunities.
Looking forward to ESD play, looking forward to just mm-hmm. AA play in general. Obviously, that's where the Golden Eagles play. Do you kind of shape up, or I guess, how do you kind of shape up the rest of the competition in the state? I'm sure when you over the last couple of years, you're still kind of looking at it mm-hmm. every once in a while. How does AA kind of look like next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is super good this year. Everyone's losing a lot of good seniors, which I think opens up the opportunity for any team in the state to be number one, mm-hmm. which is super exciting to hop into as a new coach and for these girls because they didn't end the season how they wanted to. So it's kind of like a fresh slate. You don't know who's going to be the best, but anyone can be the best. So, I mean, I think that's just a super awesome thing to see for them, and I think it's really motivating, which I hope it'll click into gear and they'll figure some stuff out, and hopefully I can help them.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned it, you know, not the best end of the mm-hmm. season last year, but I guess, do you think that'll fuel mm-hmm. the girls coming into this upcoming season?
Yeah, I said at the beginning, I said something in relation to I saw girls posting, I want to cut down nets yep. or something. And that's so realistic for them. And I know it fuels the fire for them because they were so close and they saw how good they were at the beginning of the year and then having a close game at the end. So they want it. And I think just, you know, pushing the right buttons and getting them in the right spot will benefit them a lot because they do want it. They want to be there. They want to be at the top in the ESD, and they want to make it to the state tournament. So the motivation and the want to be there, it's there.
I guess to kind of wrap things up, isn't it kind of neat how we have this sort of new groundswell of young mm-hmm. coaches coming through? I mean, Coach Kusler doing it mm-hmm. out in Pierre, kind of a mm-hmm. cool deal yourself now. Nothing against older coaches, certainly yeah. not saying that at all, but isn't it kind of neat that this is like the next generation of young yeah. coaches coming up?
It's super awesome. And as you mentioned, older coaches, I don't think if our younger generation had bad coaches, we would want to get back into it.
Right.
It's a huge testament to who coached us. And then also something I've touched on is just the community that South Dakota puts and, you know, emphasizes around girls and boys basketball. I mean, we have a really special South Dakota, the state. It just supports everything, whether that's the State Bees here in Aberdeen, Summit League tournament in Sioux Falls, any state tournament for that matter. I think they just really embody the culture, and they make it seem like you're playing for more when you're playing in South Dakota. So it's super cool to hop into as a coach and just know that you're being supported and you're going to have people watching you that are excited to see what you and your team can do year in and year out.
Well, looking forward to the season here. I know that it's, like you said, kind of the off season right now, and it's brackets. How's your bracket, by the way? Is it doing okay?
It's not good.
Yeah, busted after the
first
day.
The women's is a little better, I feel like, just because I pay attention to it more, but my men's one is trash, and I'm sure everyone else's men's bracket is trash based on Kentucky and, you know, just all that stuff, but yeah.
I think I got all four of my final four teams still alive, and I think I got five or six Elite Eight teams still alive. So
oh, wow. Well,
hanging
that's
in
not
there.
The case for me.
Yeah. Well, my wife's, you know, national championship is way out of whack. She has Marquette against Michigan State. And
hey, at least Marquette's in it.
Yeah, Marquette's still hanging in there. But looking forward to the season.
Yes.
Thanks for popping
in.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah, best of luck going forward.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Head coach Peyton Burkhardt joining us here live in studio on FSA. We'll wrap up the Hub after this. Fun show with head coach Peyton Burkhardt here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. If you missed any portion of the conversation, well, wait about 6.5 minutes or so. We'll get that posted to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. And we're just kind of talking off the air, and I think we're optimistic, aren't we?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I like what she said there towards the bottom, you know, just looking at next year. And, you know, a lot of girls graduated from some of those great teams. You look at Mitchell, they graduated a lot. And O'Gorman, how great they were. They graduated a lot. You know, it could be wide open. And when you look at the talent that they have, very exciting conversation with Coach Burkhardt. You know, you could tell she's ready to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
I know the season's a long ways away, but you can just tell the energy, and she's ready to roll, and I'm looking forward to next season.
No doubt. Well, the season is getting to be wrapping up on the women's side of things and the guys' side for NCAA Division II. And Mankato, they are headed to the national championship. Again, that number 7 seed in the Central Division, I don't know. You're giving me that look right now on your face. You're just like, give me a break with that whole 7 seed business. But they defeated Cal State San Marcos yesterday, 70-68. Natalie Bramer with 29 points and 9 boards. Joey Batt didn't shoot it well, but did just enough. She had 13. Emily Herzberg had 13 points there as well. They win the ball game by 2 at the wire. They advance to take on Texas Women's University in the national championship on Friday night. And, just only one team in the NSIC.
Yep, it makes zero sense. But how about the play they made at the end there, that layup? Talk about late game execution.
Some would say situational awareness.
Yeah, situational basketball
right there
at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Just they ran that play to perfection and got a layup literally as the buzzer almost sounded. So congratulations to that squad. And like we said, one team in the NSIC. Tell me how that makes any sense.
I have no idea. And oh, by the way, a 7 seed in the Central Region.
Cinderella run.
It's not really. We kind of saw this coming to a certain degree for sure. Also on the guys' side of things, Mankato, they're back in action tonight. They'll be taking on West Texas A&M. That's for a championship. That's for a chance to go to the national championship. So that's the Final Four there in Evansville, Indiana. And don't forget opening day, Twins and Royals at 3:10 today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Fun show for you tomorrow as we have a loaded guest list. Looking forward to that on Friday on FSA.